Hello, everyone. Before I start the episode, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened, downloaded, and shared this podcast. We are always trying to improve, and all the feedback you have given us has been great. I would also like to encourage you to subscribe to our daily newsletter to stay up to date on the newest podcast episodes, industry insights, and Mercator Advisor Group commentary. Again, thank you to everyone who comes and listens to our episodes, and now, on with the show. Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And on today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at payment trends in India. And to help me with this conversation, I have Steve Powell, ACI's Marketing SVP. Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Ryan, thanks. Good to be here with you.
Right. Now, ACI Worldwide recently published Transactions 2025, a report that's covering payment trends in India and how digital capabilities are shaping them. Why did you choose to create this report and report now, and which findings did you find most surprising?
Well, ACI has been doing business in India for more than 20 years, primarily with the banks. We have a tremendous share of the marketplace there. We do card fraud prevention. We do a lot of things with the banks to manage the huge base of ATMs that are there. But since the demonetization move a couple of years ago now, and just general trends that we've seen in the marketplace, we've been aware that there's some amazing shifts going on in what really is probably the fastest growing economy in the world in many ways. So we decided that it was going to be important to get some research and to understand this a little bit better. So we looked around the marketplace and we have a partner there, a very strong partner, AGS Technologies, and we landed on working with the Economic Times as a source to really go out and do this research among influencers in the industry, leading players across all the different segments. And we decided that as we went forward with this report, that it would be, you know, we're starting to see some of the findings come back, something that the industry in general probably would like to see. So we created the report, created an event around introducing it, have launched it, and have had really a phenomenal uptake on people referring to it and looking into the data that we found. Now, one of the things that's most surprising to me that I saw here is just the pace of change and adoption of digital payment technologies and person-to-person payments. We know that India has about to pass China as being the most populous country on the planet, over 1.1 billion people. Cell phone penetration is also very high in the country. But what we didn't realize with all the digital wallets that are there and the prevalence of digital technology is just how comfortable, especially the young people and their really tech-savvy society, are in making digital payments. And this is happening all the time at an increasing rate. The survey bears that out, and we think that that's, you know, really a bellwether for what we're going to see across India in the next 5+ years. As this really takes root.
Excellent. Now, keeping with that kind of 5+ years mind state here, how do you see the payments landscape evolving in India over those next few years?
Well, you know, on the high end, there are people that have forecasted that this could be a $1 trillion digital transaction economy by 2025. And again, the numbers bear that out, that it's a trend that could end up at that level. That's a phenomenal total. And what's interesting also is it's a very cash-oriented economy, or it's coming from one. It still is today, but some of the estimates are that in that $1 trillion economy, 4 out of 5 payments, 80%, would be made digitally by then. So think of what that means with respect to the drain of cash out of that economy and 1 billion-plus people buying things and executing commerce at a $1 trillion level. With it all happening digitally, that to me is a hyper change. It's again on par with what we see in China and other economies. And there are a lot of things that are happening there that are driving this. You know, in the area of e-commerce, we've probably all seen in the news recently the little bit of a battle that took place between Amazon and Walmart in bidding for Flipkart, which is the very large e-commerce marketplace in India. Where you can buy all sorts of goods, sort of the Amazon of the United States. Walmart ended up coming out on top there, buying 71% of Flipkart in what many people have said is Walmart's most significant e-commerce play that they've ever made, even larger than buying Jet.com. And one of the things that's driving that is the development of their logistics infrastructure. You know, if you want to have an online business or an e-commerce business, you have to be able to get products to people. And that's another important thing that's developing in India that's going to allow this to continue to progress. So all around, if you hit the ground in India, you see the signs of economic development and the types of things that are going to support what is going to continue to be a digital payments marketplace.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Now, do you think that the technology boom in India is forcing the payments industry to reconsider certain processing factors?
Sure, absolutely. Again, one of the factors that I mentioned already is the role of smartphones, because they are, you know, they're the payment instrument of choice, actually, even a POS. You can walk down to a street corner and, you know, buy your lunch, your lemonade and biscuits from a peer-to-peer or person-to-person payment on your phone. The vendor will accept that payment now, and obviously you can make it. And again, one of the things that occurred with demonetization was a very large increase in the number of merchants that signed up to be able to accept digital payments, because they saw that the currency was sort of being, you know, sucked out of the economy because of that. People were having digital accounts set up by the government. There were limits on how much you could withdraw from an ATM that were put into place. All really very well-meaning, and I think a nice orchestration between the government's role in helping to advance this, as well as the fintechs and the commercial companies' participation. It's really a very harmonious relationship that exists there, I believe. Mobile phones are again the payment instrument of choice. But one of the other issues that's really important is the consideration around fraud. Now, one of the reasons that demonetization was implemented was to try to withdraw black money from the Indian market, sort of all of the counterfeit currency and money that people were holding on to in cash-only transactions where they weren't really able to account for all of the taxes. And when you put that all into a digital world, much easier to track. But of course, we all know that historically, the bad guys have all perpetrated crime on all these new payment methods that come up. And there's a lot that needs to be done to protect people to be able to, you know, just like we see everywhere else, not do foolish things in making digital payments, to educate them and build in safeguards. And a lot of that's going to happen around both POS transactions and terminals, as well as how people can use things like two-factor identification and biometrics on their phones before they're making transactions and e-commerce purchases.
Great. And I'm glad that you brought up fraud, and we're gonna circle back to that point in a second here. But first, so we've seen quite an amount of growth in global e-commerce over the last few years. Now, how is this affecting payments from a global standpoint and in India?
So what we're seeing in this area of e-commerce transactions and the growth from a global standpoint, it's being driven, as I mentioned earlier, by e-commerce within India, but also cross-border transactions are really growing as well. You know, India as a country is trying to become a larger player in the global economic scale. They're obviously great at technology and services, but in manufacturing and producing products, their markets want to see customers from outside of India in the global marketplace. So cross-border payments and transactions, the ability for people to come in and have seamless purchases within the Indian e-commerce market and even the B2C markets and B2B markets is going to be really important. So there's going to be a range of payment solutions that are developing to meet these needs of businesses and consumers. And ACI is participating in that right now with our partner, AGS, and through the existing customer relationships that we have.
Great. Now, circling back to the fraud point there. Now, although new technology is enabling more citizens in India to bank digitally, are you seeing that there's more of a concern for fraud?
Oh, definitely. Cyber attacks in India cost, you know, the country, they estimate $4 billion annually in lost revenues and fraudulent transactions. And again, if the new technologies are exploited by criminals, and certain safeguards are put into place. Estimates say that this could actually rise to $20 billion by 2025 in the next, 6 to 8 years along those lines. So digitization of payments really presents challenges and opportunities. Stronger need for authentication. I mentioned that earlier, biometrics and two-factor authentication that's going to go beyond just basic card and PIN technology that we have today to really, know your customer, confirm that the person that's trying to authorize a digital transaction is, in fact, the owner and possessor of that account. Again, some of this technology is going to be enabled by smartphone manufacturers. Others would be the players and the intermediaries. And we had an event March the 9th, where we introduced our Transactions 2025 report, a panel discussion of about 8 really top leaders and influences in the Indian economy. And this topic of fraud was the number one topic that they were all discussing, because I think realistically, they see great opportunity, they see great potential, they see great promise. It's very exciting, but fraud is one of those factors that can really hold things back and water things down. If the public becomes reluctant, in spite of the fact there's exciting new technology and capabilities, the adoption will be slowed, if not significantly impacted. So there's no doubt that getting out ahead of some of the potential concerns, again, that could manifest itself in $20 billion worth of fraud. We don't want to see that happen by 2025. We want to manage that. And so, again, ACI and others that specialize in being able to use artificial intelligence and sophisticated processing algorithms to detect fraud and share the information across legitimate merchants. So we're working hard to make sure that the technology adoption is not slowed down by this type of nefarious activity.
Excellent. Well, Steve, thank you very much for taking the time today for speaking to us about payment trends in India, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Great, Ryan. Thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it.